لله على حلمه بعد علمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, one of the most surest things in this world is the aspect of change. It has been correctly said that the most constant of all things is change. Human beings have always evolved. There have always been change in human beings' situation. From the very inception of humanity till now, there has been various aspects of change. When Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala gave him the knowledge of certain aspects. And then Allah Ta'ala told the Malaika, you tell the names of these things. وَعَلَّمَ عَادَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِ بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. You tell us the names of these things if you are true. So Adam alayhi salam knew the names of it. The Malaika didn't know the names of it. So this was the beginning. یہ نئی چیزیں کا جو وجود ہے وہ دنیا کی ایک لازمی چیز ہے. Everything. So then when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came in this world, the first revelations that came upon him were not about salat, zakat, hajj. The first things was, how do you live in this world? Zindagi mein kaise zindagi guzarna? So the first aspects with regard to wahi, ghar kaise banana, how do you put your fire? Ye sab cheeze jo hai na, wo sabse pehle unke upar jo na, wo wahi hota tha. Thereafter, human being went from that particular situation, they progressed. Then in the time of Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, the tribe of Ab, they became very, very professional in the building of their homes. Allah has made mention, they put up such beautiful homes in the mountains, and they used to take pride with regard to what we have done. And they used to say, man ashaddu minna quwwa, who is greater than us in strength? Look at the beautiful homes that we have been able to put up in the mountains, carving the mountains up. So that was another phase of change in the evolving of human beings. Thereafter, a time came that Allah has made mention in Surah Saba, whole surah, Allah has made mention of a tribe. And this tribe's distinguishing characteristics was the agricultural revolution and the agricultural expertise. They had such great expertise in agriculture, in terms of trees and vegetation, in terms of the progress in this, that historians and mufassirin write that they had built such beautiful fruit trees that you didn't even have to pick the fruit from the trees. A person used to walk through the gardens. By the time someone came at the end of the garden, the basket which was on their head was filled with fruits. They became nashukar, and Allah Ta'ala destroyed them, different matter. So yehi cheez hai jo hai na insanon mein chalta raha. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not in any way resist change. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam embraced it. Anything new came, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look at it. If it was beneficial, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted it. Look at this aspect. When the entire Arabia came to attack Medina, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have the resources, physical and human, to protect Medina against them. So Salman al-Farsi said, Ya Rasulullah, dig a trench. Now, someone could have said, so the way sometimes we argue, ye to ghairon ka tarika hai, hum kyun apnaye? This is someone else's way, why must we adopt it? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at it and said, for the occasion, this is right. And he built a trench. Do you know that when Abu Sufyan came and he saw the trench, he said, this is not the way of the Arabs. This is the way of someone else. And yes, it was the way of someone else. It was a Persian way of doing warfare. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say, why must we accept it? Why must we take it? It was the way of the Persians. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam adopted it. Change has always been constant. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Islam did not resist change and progress. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent one of his Sahabi, Zayd ibn Thabit, to go and learn a new language. And he told him, go and learn Hebrew. Go and learn Hebrew. And Zayd ibn Thabit mastered the Hebrew language in 3 weeks. 3 hafte mein unhone pure Ibrani zaman ke upar unhone kabu hasil kiya. Ye nahi kaha ki hum kyun istemal kare, hum kyun seekhe, ye dusre zaban hum kyun seekhe. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ne khud unko jaakar kaha ki jaakar seekhe. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, two sahaba, Urwa bin Mas'ud, and other one's name I forgot, he sent them to the city of Jarash, which was in Syria, which was a very important. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent two sahaba to Jarash to be able to learn the aspect of new warfare, or how people used to use catapults. So this was how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with different aspects of change that came. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever resisted change or progress. But one thing what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did and the Sahaba did was, whenever anything new came, they looked at the aspect of nafa and darar. In this new thing, what is the benefit? What is the harm? And then they looked upon it. So this was how the Sahaba dealt with situation. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let's give you an example. When in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed away, in the first battle after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, they fought against Musaylama al-Kadhab. 500 Huffaz died, passed away, martyred, shaheed. And when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Abu Bakr and said, oh Abu Bakr, if we're going to carry on like this, Huffaz are going to die, the Quran will get lost. Let us put the Quran in a book form, right? Mushaf. So Abu Bakr said, nahi, hum aise kyu kar sakte? How are we going to do what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't do? So you see this aspect, I'll just remember this. When something new comes, so there's a degree of conservatism with regard to it. Chalo, dekhe isme kya hai? Isme the nafa kya hai, dharar kya hai? What is the aspect with regard to benefit and harm? So in this way, Abu Bakr said, no, I can't do it. Then when he saw the benefit, he said, we will do it. And he put the Quran in the book form. Today we look at the Quran in the book form here in our shelves. No one looks upon it as something that is haram. But yet when it started off, there was a reluctance, reservation. Karna hai, nahi karna hai. Lekin jab pata chala ke isme jo hai na fayda hai, then we went ahead and we did it. And now no one regards it as anything that is wrong. So in every aspect, this is what is the reality. We cannot resist change, we cannot resist technology, we cannot resist many of the changes that will come upon humanity. One such item that I would like to speak on today, which has become widespread, and it is such a thing that today we cannot perhaps, maybe in theory we can do without it, but the way the world is running, we cannot do without it. And that is where I spoke about the introduction about change, about technology and progress. And one thing that has led to one another is the aspect of social media. This is also something that has come in recently into our communities, societies, maybe a decade, 2 decades back. But it is now such a reality that perhaps we can say that it cannot be undone. This is a reality. What is social media? I picked up the definition last night and I will share it with you. Social media is a tool that allows people to create, share or exchange information, communication, ideas, pictures, videos in virtual community and virtual networks. This would today include WhatsApp, it would include Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of that is regarded to be part of social media. Just to give an example with regard to how widespread this has become so widespread that some years back, I think I made mention of it, I spoke in one conference and I said that if Facebook was a country, it would have been the 11th most populous nation on earth. And thereafter, I received a call from someone after I made that presentation about after 6 months. Mana, you made mention with regard to this whole particular aspect, but in reality, things have changed now. Now it has become the third largest population on earth. This was about a year back. Nowadays, if you look at it, perhaps more than the population of China and India, you will have people on Facebook and you will have them on these particular aspects of social media. There was a survey done in February of this year that for every 228 messages on social media, one phone call is made. So out of every 228 messages on social media, one phone call or one verbal communication takes place. Whether it is right or wrong, Allah knows. Yes, it has decreased our physical relationship, our communication. Previously, people used to wait to tell one another things face to face. Nowadays, we have a situation where people just find the communication, salam, Jummah Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, all done through the means of this. Now, when this is a reality, how do we look upon it? And there's some for us, we have to look at it. If it is a reality, and I'm perfectly sure with regard to it, that there are, like every tool, it has its benefits, it has its harms. And when we take it, we have to take and the benefits, stay away from the harms. Unfortunately today, we are blessed and we are cursed with our technological progress. We are blessed and we are cursed. Sometimes these things are so beneficial that it can make you communicate with people across the globe. Your own cousins, your own uncles, your own khalas, you have been able to speak to them for free on Viber and all of that, but yet sometimes it can cut you away from the person who is sitting across the table from you, or he is communicating with you. So this is the benefits and the harms with regard to it. And for an example, really, I don't think anyone can say that we can stay without it. Why should we stay without it? Why should we stay without it? Let me give an example. Why would someone want to escape the luxury of being communication with one another? Why should we want to escape the luxury of being communicating with one another, communicating with your loved ones? Sometimes your friends are in China, you can be able to communicate with them. They are sometimes in Malaysia, you can be able to communicate with them. Why will you stay away from gaining knowledge from experts? So through the means of a Google, I'm not saying all times, I will, during the course of today and maybe in the next 2-3 weeks, we will talk about the guidelines with regard to it. Why must we stay away from gaining knowledge from the experts with one touch of the button? Why will we stay away from knowing what is happening in this world? Why should we stay away from that? I mean, if you look at what is happening in Masjid Aqsa, right? Alhamdulillah, throughout the world, people have mobilized. People have been able to put pressure upon the oppressive Israeli regime that look at what you are doing. Every time one Palestinian is killed, the video of it is circulating throughout the world. Why should we deprive ourselves of knowing what our Muslim brothers are going through? Hind bin Hala relates a hadith from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which Mufti Shafiz Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, the grand Mufti of Pakistan in his time, said it is the basis of the media. He said that when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Fajr used to sit with his companions, he used to ask them, what is happening in the world? Tell me what is happening to Muslims. And people used to relate that this is happening, that is happening, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to communicate and comment on it. So uska matlab ye hai ki musalmanon ke bare mein, musalmanon ko falah o behbood ke bare mein, kahin bhi agar dunya mein kisi bhi hissa mein ho, uska khabar rakhna ye Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ki sunnat hai. So you're getting to know it via the means of the smartphone. You're getting to know it via the means of the social media. And today, people don't want, we don't want any aspect with regard to phones. We want phones that are smart, not dead. So what do you mean? What is the difference between a smartphone and a dead phone? A smartphone is that where you have the aspects with regard to social media. And on the other hand, those particular aspects, like the old Nokias that people used to talk and used to regard as very, very valuable in those times, those particular aspects, you don't find it. Children don't want that. You can give them a normal Nokia 2210, you'll see what they'll do with you. Huh? They say we're not living in the age of dinosaurs. And people used to laugh and we make jokes with regard to it, that particular aspect had very big battery life. And now the smartphones and half a day, your battery life is finished. So someone made a joke that day. He said, I went into my cupboard, I've picked up my jacket, I found an old Nokia phone, and there were still 2 bars left of the battery. So this is a situation that today, 2 hours, your battery life is finished. Now when something is necessary, you are dealing with it, then it is maybe not in the faras in the sense of the deen, it is compulsory for you to know how to utilize it. And I will say something, just as we today teach our children to wear clothes, just as we teach them to tie their shoelaces, now the time has come for them to teach them how to use social media. And I'll give you a hadith with regard to it. Where do you get this? From the hadith. Let me give you an example. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Iyakum wal julusu bit turuqat. Iyakum wal julusu bit turuqat. O people, stay away from sitting on the street corners, unless there's a necessity. Stay away from staying and wasting your time in the street corners and just sitting and whiling your time away in the street corners. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes we have to. Sometimes the time come, we have to be on the street corners. We have to sit and talk to one another, make salam to one another, find out how one another are feeling. We have to do it. Some people know it better than others. So when we do this whole particular aspect is, Ya Rasulullah, we have to. Ma lana la budda lana. If we have to do it, what must we do? So what? Look at what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. And I want you to think about this. He said, if you have to, then fulfill the rights of the street. If you have to, then fulfill the rights of the street. Agar wahan pe hona zaruri hai, to fir jo hai na iska jo hai wo akhlaq aur uska sahi tarika se wahan pe rehna, ye aapke liye lazim hai. Then you have to. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the aspect, if we have to, what is the etiquettes of sitting on the street? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention of 4 things. He said, cast your gaze down. Don't look around things you're not supposed to look at. Koi aa gaya samne se jo ne wahan pe dekhna shuru kar diya, ye galat hai. Look after your eyes. Kafful adha. Don't harm someone. Someone is coming past, you go and throw a stone at him. Or someone is coming past, you go and give a sly remark. Stay away from that. Al amru bil ma'ruf. Command people to do good. Wan nahyu anil munkar. And tell them to stay away from evil. Now, look at what I'm saying. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have to be on the street, then take the etiquettes, do this, and now. Take that particular hadith and take the lesson forward. If you have to have a cell phone, if you have to have a smartphone, then take that particular hadith and say, just as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have to be on the street corners, then have the certain etiquettes. In a similar manner, if you're going to have to be on the smartphone, learn the etiquettes with regard to it. This is the reality. So this particular aspect makes us very, very clear with regard to it, that we have to know it. And now, as I said, just as we teach our children how to tie with the shoelaces, now the time has come to be able to talk to them and say this. Let us, maybe there are certain homes who will be able to say that I have been able to tell my children not to keep it. Alhamdulillah. But the majority of the people are keeping it, their children have it. If the children don't have it, they feel unloved. They feel that their parents don't trust them. It's a different matter whether they live up to their trust or not. But if it's a reality, then it is important for us to engage them and tell them, this is the good, this is the bad, this is the harms, this is the negative, this is the positive, this is how you're going to use it. If you don't use it, I will perhaps take away the privilege. So this is now the challenge for each and every one of us. The first thing I'm going to make mention, during today and inshallah maybe in the coming weeks or so, we will speak now specifics. The first thing is for be able to know your intention. Why are you keeping a smartphone? If the intention is to communicate with one another, to be able to communicate with people throughout the world, if the communication is to keep in touch with what is happening in the world to your Muslim brothers, your sisters, or your Muslim other people, that to keep abreast with regard to what is happening in the world, to share information, to learn new information through the means of internet, to be able to receive your email while you are in different parts of the world. There is nothing wrong with those intentions. It is perfectly permissible for you to utilize it. But if you are going to use that particular smartphone just to be entertained, to flirt, to be able to speak to women across the gender barrier whom you are not supposed to speak to, right? And it is easier for you to do it on the smartphone than what you used to do previously. Previously, you had to go and meet someone at a particular place, and the chance of someone seeing you was very, very high. And then, of course, the resultant stigma. Now you can do it in the comfort of your home. You can sit and talk to other people. Now the aspect is, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that particular aspect? First aspect, your intention. Right, the first aspect. I don't know if I got, I'll make time of one more etiquette, and then from there we'll take it up. In this whole particular aspect of Facebook, and unfortunately, maybe sometimes I'll speak about things people might know about it. This is an amazing thing. Previously, if someone followed you, you used to go to the police station. This man is stalking me. He's looking after me. Now if someone follows you on Twitter, you get happy. It's an amazing thing. First, someone followed you, you go to the police. Now someone follows you, you get happy. Now this particular aspect, one aspect with regard to status. DP. Now you know all amazing things happening. Now you play, all the old people have to learn all this technology. What is this? It's a sickness. Sometimes people put their status, which are fake. So they put on their status that they have got a Ferrari car or they got a new car when they've got nothing like that. But why are they doing it? To create a status, to create an image to other people. Now, some people will say, but is this possible? Not only is it possible, it is widespread. So people will use things and use a fake identity on their different social media platforms to be able to give a particular image of yourself. Now, Ya Allah, it is the opposite of what you are. Nabi Karim SAW had said, "Min sharrin nasi dhul wajhain." Amongst the worst of people is a two-faced person who show one face to one side and he shows another face to another side. So he shows one face to his immediate family when he's in reality, and there on that particular, Allah knows best, that is there a more better manifestation of this particular hadith than now from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam making mention of it. So that time you show one face there and you're showing another face on in your Facebook or your Instagram status. And do you know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called that person the worst of people, who shows people a different. Now in this, look at the harms. Firstly, you are fake. You are portraying yourself what you are not. In this particular way, your self-esteem gets damaged. You are not happy with whom you are. You are not happy with what Allah has given you. You are creating a different image for the sake of pleasing another. What does it do to your own self? What does it do to your own self-esteem? What does it do to your own confidence? It is harming yourself despite the temporary pleasure you get of showing a status to other people that people are happy with regard to it. Or people will feel that you are someone because you are staying next to a Ferrari car. Where you got that also Allah knows best. Or whether you went to a particular car place and you took one picture and you put it on your status and all the girls thought that you got a Ferrari. Beware when you go there with a Tata then. Then the other thing is that you are engaging in deception. Laysa minna man ghashana. He is not from amongst us who deceives people. He's not from the ummah of Nabi Karim SAW. It is dishonesty. And you become part of this hadith when Nabi Karim SAW said, you are the worst of people because you are showing one face to others and you show. These are some of the things, inshallah, next week we will start off making mention of some of the other harms so that since it's a reality, we need to be knowing the positive and the negative, the harms and the benefits, how to utilize it correctly in line with the Sharia and to stay away from those things which the Sharia has prohibited. May Allah give you a tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.